Okay, so I'm really excited that you guys are here today. I'm super excited. First of all, welcome to the Ordinary Conversations, where we have serious conversations in the most unserious way. We said unserious because, again, life is not that deep. Let's take it one day at a time, but let's make it count. That's what matters. Today we are going to discuss something that is very, it's quite controversial. But it'd be nice to have your insights. I have two fantastic people with me today. Starting with, I have Mrs. Ademo Agun with me. And one of the reasons I'm excited is that, first of all, she's of the baby boomer generation. So it's going to be very insightful to see how our parents think, right? She's of my mom's generation, she's my parents' generation, and I'm just excited to dive into to see her mindset, right? And see what she thinks about us. I mean, I don't know. We are millennials, Gen Z's and the rest of us. I mean, how well are we doing? And then secondly, I have Seum Oladimeji. Let me give you guys cheese. First of all, she's one thing you guys might know is that Seum and I went to the same school and we've been friends for over a decade, like over a decade. And she used to be very, as in, I like to know. She used to be very, right from school. I'm not disappointed actually. She used to be very, as in, this has to match this has to match that, this has to match that. People can see my friend right now, as in, it is, you're looking delicious. That's what I'm trying to say, by the way. So, I'm excited. This is our third episode. If you've been following us, thank you so much. If it's your first time, don't forget to click the subscribe button. Very crucial. I want to start with a quote. I want to read something to you, and we'll take it from there, right? This quote said that we'll never know the love of a parent till we become parents ourselves. And I want to start with mommy, right? When you hear this statement, what comes to your mind? What are the thoughts that come to your head when you hear this?
Well, what comes into my mind is that experience is the best teacher. Until you are in it, you cannot know what it takes, to be a parent. So when you are in it, you have more experience. So experience is the best teacher. When you experience it, it's better experience than,
To be taught or to
to be
be
taught
told,
or to be told. So when you have experience concerning it, then you will really understand.
As in, we appreciate it better.
Yes.
I think it's like there's this thing that goes around on the internet. I don't know if you have seen it at any point, you like so there's this struggle my mom has with my brother. Anytime my brother is at home, if he wants to fry plantain, he can fry three at once. Or oil in the pan, do anyhow. I think there was a day mommy traveled and he had to buy those things himself. Mommy was not home. See the way it was very prudent, as in the
Yes.
oil, little, the
Yes,
plantain, maybe he just
because
fried one, he saved the money for later,
it
And that's what came to mind, like when you talk about experience, it takes
Yes.
experiencing buying food with your own money
With your own
to
money.
understand when mommy is saying, don't waste that thing, don't do that thing. What comes to mind, Sean, when you hear that? When you hear it takes becoming a parent to appreciate, to have it, to understand what they feel.
So honestly, I'm emotional because I remember that when we had our son 7 years ago in St. Nicholas, someone had come to see me. And I said to her that I felt bad that my mom had passed because I would have prostrated to greet her. I remember that scene clearly. I didn't have, my labor wasn't long, but it was the journey, the fears, the highs, the lows, and everything. And as at that time, I had not been a mom for maybe 1 week. This was me talking on the day I had our son. And I said, if my mom were alive, I will go straight down. It takes a lot, And even till now, some things happen and I have flashbacks of right. So what am I saying? Maybe I was upset with my mom or my dad for action X, and then my son does something, and I see myself reacting the same way my parents acted, and I wasn't happy with them. So these days I'm having deja vus. I'm becoming more appreciative of them. Mm. I'm learning to forgive some hurts that I've kept in my mind, thinking that they were unfair because I'm having those parenting conversations myself, and I'm becoming to understand them. I'm coming to actually sit in their shoes, right? So I get things better now. And I kind of feel like even when they've passed, I will still have some of these flashback moments to say, oh, I didn't understand why dad, you know, took this action. I didn't understand why mommy took this action. But now I'm a parent. I have a child I'm responsible for. And I get them better now.
You said something, and I want to ask mommy, is it possible for a parent to be unfair with regards to disciplining their children? Is it possible for an African mom? Let's say African mom, because many of us, we had more interaction with our mothers than our fathers. You know, daddy goes to work. Your generation was such that many of our mothers were either business women, teachers, or they were housewives, or they were teachers. So they were very present, right? But is it possible? If our generation comes to you and says, ah, mommy, your generation, the way you guys treated us was unfair, would you agree with that statement?
Yes, I will agree with it.
Mm, why?
Wow. Because we are so drastic, you know, in discipline our children.
Ah, this feels so good.
Actually.
Wow.
And not that we didn't have regrets of the drastic action we take when a child, you know, committed a particular offense. You know, we take a drastic action. I'm going to discipline this child. For example, I caught my daughter with my friend's son in my sitting room. Sure, you know, understand, yeah. You know, doing what adults will do. So yeah. When I saw it, I was so shocked that I take a very drastic action. I have to go and take Pepe and put it in the private part so that, you know, he will not do it again. It's a drastic action. That discipline is beyond, you know, the normal this thing. So most of the discipline we give our children are not okay. We are too rational in our disciplinarian, you know, of those children. So many parents are regretting
those kind of actions
that they took on their children when raising them for one particular offense or the other. Shall you understand? So we have so many regrets in the way we treat our children in the past because the discipline we give to them is too harsh.
But let me ask you something, mommy. I've had my own share of harsh disciplines, but I want to ask you that, okay, let's even use that case study you used. At that point in time, would you say that was it coming from a place of disappointment or a place of love?
It's coming from a place of love. Because then I was a very young mother. So I thought if I take a drastic action concerning it, the child will not do that kind of thing. Although it works. But after so I take that drastic action, I'm not happy about it. So I have to go again, take the child, you know, cuddle her, you know,
have a conversation,
let her know what she has done that is not okay. So it is not all the disciplines that we give to our children that are okay. Some of them are beyond, some of them are hurtful, you know, that later in life you have to be thinking, oh, I did this to this child. There was a pastor that the Holy Spirit told him to go and apologize to his son for losing, is it not 3,000, the school fees was 3,005 then.
Yeah.
So the way he disciplined that child, he beat that child to coma.
Oh my goodness.
Because the child lost the school fees. So he have to go and look for another money and pay for the
school fees.
But, you know, he knows that the way he treated that boy is not okay. And do you know, the boy was nursing those wounds. No. Anytime the boy remembered how the father treated him because he lost the school fees and how mercilessly the father beat him. So he used to hurt him. So until the Holy Spirit, that now the father now become a pastor, the Holy Spirit now tell him to go and apologize to his own son. You know, he was arguing, how can I go and apologize to my own son? But, you know, he was led by the Spirit. He have to call the boy. And do you know what the boy, when he called the son, he said, please forgive me for what I done. He said, the way you beat me when I lost my school fees. He has not told the boy the offense.
The boy knew why he was apologizing. But
the boy knew why he was apologizing after about 15 years later. So the wound is inside the boy. The boy was carrying the pain everywhere that how can my father beat me like this, treated me like this because I lost school fees and beat me to stupor. Sure, you understand. So to that father, then he was disciplining the son. So many discipline we give to our children in those days are very, very bad.
So this is the thing. And I was going to ask you, Sheo, whether you've had your own share of this form of our African parents' discipline. I say so because there have been arguments, there have been talks online on social media. Some people say that, oh my God, our parents, they traumatized us. They have made us into this. So some of us need to go for therapy. Yes. Some of us need someone to go and talk to.
To go and talk to.
At the same time, some people argue that some of these drastic steps that our parents took is why a number of us are still responsible. There's been that argument. Let me give you a funny example. Many years ago, my grandmother of blessed memory, she came to visit us during that time. We had a neighbor. There was a boy that used to live upstairs. His name was, Tunde. And so Tunde had traveled, and then Tunde's brother came around to our neighbor's house. So, you know, me and my sister were excited that, look at Tunde's brother, or, you know, we know Tunde, or maybe let's assume Tunde's brother's name is Femi. So that evening, we're in front of our compound, just in our compound, you know, just seeing and all of that. So, Femi sat down and lapped my younger sister on one leg, and then my grandmother came out. I was innocent. She couldn't be more than eight or nine. Me, I was maybe like 12. And then so Femi should have been like, say, maybe 16. Thereabouts. So we were all young when you look at the whole picture. So we're just gisting. There was only one chair outside. So Femi sat, carried my sister, me, I stood. And that's how my grandmother came out in her regal self. We call her Yaundo. She used to say, Amy Sabina. That's how she used to heal herself. We didn't know where it came from. It looked like thunder. As in, bah, whoa, everything just scattered. And I was confused. Look at this woman from the village, oh, see what she's doing, oh, blah, blah, blah. And at that point in time, I was like, why did you beat this person? So she chased Femi away, then sat down there. And she started speaking Ondo. I didn't understand it quite well, but I picked a few things. And that's by your mom, they were shaking it. And at that point, I couldn't reconcile where it was coming from. We're just here gisting, you know. But as I grew older, I understood Mama. However, was Mama's approach the best approach? Maybe not. Did that happen again? No. That action, in fact, Femi avoided us. Till Femi left, he avoided us. So, brings me to my question that, as drastic as it was, because I'm a, shall I say, I don't want to use a beneficiary. I'm a beneficiary of that generation. We both are.
Absolutely.
As drastic as it was, I know that there are some things that worked. I know there are some things that worked. That's my personal opinion. Do you agree with that, or do you have another opinion with regards to the way we were disciplined?
So again, yesterday we had, I had a very interesting session, and one of the things that a top educator told us was that because discipline has a kind of negative connotation, he would prefer that we say behavior modification. And at the end of behavior modification, what you want is a child that is able to self-regulate, right? Mm. Wherever they are. So whether my mom is there, whether my mom is not there, I know what to do per time. Mm. The discipline that leaves a trauma in a child can never be right. Personally, I've had my own journey, and it's only of recent that I've said to myself that I know I need therapy. Mm. I'm not going to, you know, point accusing fingers to say at some point maybe parents or guardians did X and Y. I want to believe that they parented based on the knowledge they have. Now, every generation is supposed to be an improvement on the former. Mm. So if I know that there is a particular parenting style, right, that did more harm than good for me, should I do the same? No. And personally, what I do with our son is that I'm very open. Now, if you see me speaking with my 7-year-old, it's as if we are peers, right? We have conversations, and we've been having it since he was one, when he didn't even understand. I would talk and then people will mock me that he doesn't understand. But we've grown, you know, we've evolved into that relationship where sometimes I'm human. Maybe I'm very upset. My child had done something and I overreact. My son is able to hold my hand to say, Mom, I don't think you were fair to me. And I'll see to say, Fikemi, I'm sorry. I was upset. I was stressed. Sometimes it even looks like therapy. Then you'll ask, why were you stressed? Then we'll talk about it.
Your therapist.
Then we'll talk about it. And then I'll also say to him what he did wrong. And at the end of those conversations, as informal as they are, we both apologize to one another, and then maybe I'll commit to say, okay, I won't shout like that next time. I need to commit that, okay, Mom, I'll shut the door of my room, or whatever it is, whatever behavior modification that we are trying to
effect.
It's not easy. Because again, someone said, it's the fastest thing for you to do is to just pick up, for example, a cane and flog a child, right? Because sometimes they are stressed. You don't have the time to sit and engage and explain to the child why not to do this. You understand? And try to connect with the child. But it leaves traumas. It leaves traumas. I have experiences of 20-something, 37. In fact, there are some places I go to that trigger me because of disciplinary behaviors. Again, like I'm saying, our parents did the best that they could with the information available to them. That's my own personal opinion. However, I'm determined not to do things that way. Whatever discipline or whatever correction that I want to share with my son or my child that won't allow me have a relationship with him, I will not do it. I want him at every point in time to be extremely certain that his parents love him. Okay. And that there's nothing in this world that he can do that will make us less proud of him or, you know, love him less. It's very, extremely important to me. Another thing I'm very mindful of, and I also tell his caregivers, his teachers, or even lesson teachers, nanny, is that this child is a child, but he has emotions, right? So for example, maybe his nanny is playing with him and then there's this kind of word she uses. My son doesn't like being called a baby. He never likes it. I cannot explain why, but it upsets him. Right. And so I'll see his nanny saying, yeah, baby, a baby Joe. And it upsets him. So I say, no, he's a child, but he has emotions. Respect it. And it comes across that way. right? To say, okay, even if he's a child, right? He has done something. Should you say he's stupid? You know, should you use derogatory words on him because he's a child? Words that he cannot use back at you because he's an adult. It comes, those little things matter. And I think one thing I can pick out is that I feel that our parents and their generation, they were too fixated on correcting the behavior that they neglected the emotions of children. That's one thing that I want to pick. And I think that as parents, we need to strive to know our children better. When you know your child, I think you're able to correct better in love. And then when you correct them, you don't break them. You don't break their personality in the process.
So I kind of like the direction you've gone, right? And a number of things were coming to my mind. I remember my mom was gisting us once, and then she went like, so my mom comes from a family of nine, and they grew up in Ijebu-Mushi. So when my grandmother is upset with them, this is my maternal, not the one that did drama with my paternal grandmother. This is my maternal grandmother. When she's upset with them, she would pick anything close to her is what she will throw at them. Now, before she died, she said something, and the children say the same thing. I say that the children, I mean my mom and her siblings. They say, Yawa Kowa, Yawa Try. Because my grandfather was hardly around. So it was always her and nine children. That's now, the nine of them are still alive, to the glory of God. The nine of them are all married. The nine of them are doing okay to a large extent. So if my grandmother was here, I'm sure she would argue and she would probably say she's fine with what she did because she's fine with the outcome that she can see. That's what my grandmother would say. It doesn't mean it was right. Like you said, they acted based on their knowledge, right? But, and I'm coming to you, mommy. There's a scripture my mom is always saying, and if most people say it, now whether you're a Christian or not, they say, when you spare the rod, you will spoil the child. What it says, what it implies, I mean, the general interpretation is that from time to time, kids need to be spanked, right? Do you subscribe to the idea that kids, even when you discipline them, should they still be flogged? Or does that spare the rod? Does it mean another thing? Or is it modifiable? Because some people now say that even words, the words of your mouth is the rod now.
You see, this is what I want to say concerning what you said. You said that they focus on character, iwa. You know, in Yoruba language, iwa is very, very important.
Yes.
Iwa himself in Yoruba tradition and religion is a goddess. So, Yoruba people believe that a good character will define you. A good character will take you to places in life.
Probably more important than money.
More important than even this Western education. Western education cannot teach you ways of life, cannot teach you discipline, cannot teach you anything. But good character, good behaviors. The Yoruba people used to say, "Oni iyawo sowanu olohun lori oko." You know, he lost character. He doesn't have character. He now say, I can't find a husband, or I don't have the head of a husband. It's because he lack character. So we focus on character, how children behave, how they interact with people, and how they respect the elders, and how they behave well in the house than any other thing. So, going back to your question, discipline a child with a rod is not the solution. Dialogue is even better. When you dialogue with a child, when the child is misbehaving or is doing things that is not good, you dialogue with him. But when you continue dialoguing, and the child say kokuku ju oro lo, kini mommy fe se ju pe kokuku soro si mi. So he will continue doing that same thing. That is when you bring out the rod.
I was coming there.
The rod, according to the scripture, he said, when you spear the rod, you spoil the child. He said, the heart of a child, ni we ready see, it is rod.
Found stupidity. In the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will
drive it away.
All those things is occasionally you use it, not anything all the time. I have a son, my adopted son, in the house. Very stubborn, like goats. He doesn't hear. You can repeat one thing in a million times, but I love dialoguing with him. 1 hour, 30 minutes, I'm still talking to him every day, but until he pushed me to the wall before I use the rod, because I don't like the way my parents taught me. It's a lot of beating. You do something that is bad, they will beat you. You go this way, they can beat you up to 10 times. They don't care. Because they are trying to give you a good character. They are trying to make you to have a good character. You know, so that anywhere you go, you will not spoil the name of the family. The
family.
Because when you behave very well, they say, yes.
Whose son is this?
Whose son is this? Whose daughter is that? So they so much focus on character.
So, Mommy, I have a question, and I'm still going to come back. So, two things now. Because I know that the same way people have different forms of intelligence, people learn differently. So, for me, if I watch a video, I would assimilate better. For some people, if you dialogue with them, they assimilate better. Is it possible, would you agree that, would you say that there are children, now we're talking about raising children, that there are children that you dialogue with, like you were saying, and it doesn't get anywhere? I mean, it doesn't make a difference for them. Would you at that point say or recommend a more forceful approach?
Yeah. Yes. It is not all children that, you know, can take or appreciate dialogue. You being dialoguing with them. So some children are so stubborn that you have to take the rod. Or take another means of punishment, maybe ask them to kneel down, you know, ask them to raise up their hands or ask them to stoop down, you know, until they begin to, you know, beg, mommy, please, I will not do so again. Because some children are so stubborn that it's only beating, it's only talking. So that kind of children like that, you know, you use other means of punishment for them. But there's one thing I say about this generation is that we are trying to forget our ways, our traditions, our custom. We pick the whites,
the Western culture
than our own traditional culture. So I'm here. Like what I said in the at first place, I said that the way we discipline our children are too bad.
Yeah.
They are too drastic. Then I talk about, you know, if I can, you know, make correction of how I discipline my children in those days. It's not all of them, because I'm very, very disciplinarian, because that is how my parents taught me. So, but this generation is not going to go like that, because every generation is changing. Can you understand?
Yes,
yeah. So the way our own children, the way my grandchildren is now, when I went to go and do Omugwo in the Tayo's sister's house, I'll take oil and all this. I want to use the traditional sponge. And
you know, what did they tell you?
And the husband come from America. He said, no, don't do this to my son. So,
did that make you feel bad?
No, I didn't feel bad, because I know that the life is changing. Nothing stands the same. You know, this generation come, So the way the generation is coming, we have to adapt to it. But we should not forget our custom and our way of disciplining children, but not the way we discipline children 20 years ago or 50 years ago. You want to be using the same way to
continue
treating children this way, because the time has changed. Shall you understand? The way children see things nowadays, the way they understand things nowadays,
yeah,
is different from 50 years ago, 60 years ago. So you take, you discipline the child according to the generation that the child is into. Don't say, ah, this is how my mother treated me. My mother, my father will beat me. Igbati, ifonu, abara, iko, wire clipper. Or my father used to beat me 200 stroke of cane. Or the way they treat us in the school. They beat us in school anyhow. They beat you, teacher will beat you, or your back will pee.
Yeah.
You dare not come home and complain for your father, he will beat you more. It's only beating, treating us like a goat. So, like anima. So, this generation now is different. Most especially among those you guys that are educated, you know, very intelligent. The way the children you bear now is more intelligent, is more advancing, more light is being shining every day.
Yes.
So I wouldn't advise anybody to say, oh, you are a disciplined woman, you have to discipline your child, you have to discipline them as your mother discipline you, you will discipline your child too. You will cause child abuse.
I kind of remember, I have so many stories of my grandmother. It's funny, because you said something about Omugo. And I remember when my mom had my younger brother. So, two things happened. When he was born, so we are three, two girls and a boy. So my younger brother came 13 years after me. So it was like my mom, even it was 1998, I can't forget. We are 10 winners, and it was a year of laughter. So, and anybody who is familiar with the Winner family culture,
yes,
my brother got the name Laughter. That's how he got his name, Laughter. So my mother was like, Laughter. So, you know, she had a son finally. My grandmother came in all her intentions are always good, always very good.
Absolutely.
She came and then she brought this small bowl. We saw black soap, okay. We saw egg. Then we saw some small tools. It's like from razor to knife. I don't even know what it was.
Circumcision.
So my mother came and said on the eighth day that today is the eighth day. She wants to circumcise. My grandmother. Oh my goodness. You need to see my mommy. First of all, she grabbed her son as if, are you normal? She said, she did her son's own. That is her son, not her husband. She did it successfully. Is there anything wrong with it? My mother said, Mama, if you call, it cannot work. That was one. And she took offense.
Yes,
it took a while for my father to talk to her. She took offense. Another dramatic thing she did many years ago is when I was born, my parents refused to cut my hair. They didn't cut my hair. I think in Yoruba land, it's smart, they advise that you cut the hair the baby brings.
Yes.
They didn't cut it though. And I think I was one. Yeah, one or maybe almost two. My parents went out and left me with a nanny. Mama came to visit. Saw that there was nobody at home. Saw this girl sitting down with all the plenty hair she has been telling them to cut. And so Mama took action into her hand. Took a razor. Scraped my hair. Scraped everything. Then packed my hair inside paper for my parents. Wrapped it like this. And she went back to Ondo. She didn't wait. You know, and so it comes to, it's funny when we talk about it now, but when my mother recounts it, you can see the pain and annoyance and the anger. But then the grandmother that I grew up to know was very, very loving. very loving. And even though she did all of these really dramatic things, I cannot say my grandmother did not love me. Right? So my question is, now our generation is being more intentional about how we raise them, how we respond to them. Mm-hmm. And mommy said something that I never thought of before. You said that your generation prioritized character, right? And it makes sense, because when we see all of these historical movies, you see, oh, whose person's child? Sometimes, self, your character gives you, is your credibility. Is you can say, ah, don't worry, borrow me this money, I'll give you back. And they will say, ah, this person has a good character.
Yes.
She will give you back.
She will give you back.
Right? So that was, I can understand why it was prioritized. But now, something that has come to the surface in our generation, which is emotions. And you said something, like you also said, the pastor that had to go and apologize to his son, even the Holy Spirit recognized that the boy was resentful towards his father. How do you balance character and emotions with the place of discipline? And would you, at any point, if you, with the way you're raising your son, for instance, now, if you realize that dialogue is not working, would you at any point use the rod? Or if anyone says, oh, Sheon, I've tried dialogue, I've tried conversations, I've tried corporal punishment, I've tried go to your naughty corner, I've tried all of these things, and this behavior is not changing. Bearing in mind that when kids reach a certain age, some things are set in stone, right? Would you recommend at any point using the rod?
So two things is the fact that as parents, we can't give what we don't have. And sometimes you find yourself disciplining a trait you have out of a child, forgetting that children are sponges, that they soak in what you do. That's number one. Number two, you also need to ask yourself, am I patient enough with this child? Sometimes we are so much in a hurry to impress outsiders at the expense of your child, right? So sometimes you snap when your child does something because you don't want someone outside to say you're a bad mother. You've not even taken time out to understand from the child's point of view, why did you act that way, right? So the third thing is, I don't believe you can parent without the help of God. Basic. Sometimes some of these behaviors that we see happening, right, may be because of an internal struggle that the child has that you don't know, right? So you just want to correct the action you're seeing outside. You've not taken time out to sit down and say, child, what's happening? Right? X happened. How did it make you feel? It's possible the child is acting out because there's some inadequacy somewhere. Maybe the child just joined a new school. Everybody is friends or everybody can play football, right? He's not allowed to play football. He feels he's less than himself. You've not. Now, when mommy was speaking, mommy talked about sometimes having discussions with her son for 1 hour, 30 minutes. Your typical working class mother of today, she needs to look good. She has a career. She needs to be there for her husband. Where is she going to get 1 hour, 30 minutes to sit? I'm just trying to let us see
that's true.
How we are feeling our children and how it's unfair that if we've not taken time to connect with them, to share with them, to listen to their inadequacies, all of a sudden, what you just want to do is to correct some behavior. It's not fair on the child. And if you look critically, remember that children are born as a blank slate, though, right? I don't believe that there's any child that was born stubborn. When we start to see some trends, if you sit down really as a parent and you plot your journey, you can see where the issues came out from. So I'm saying, let's try and be fair with these children. Let's try to understand our children first. So even if I say, let's assume that I agree that you beat the child. When you beat the child and it doesn't solve the problem, what do we do at that point?
We'll beat again.
Because beating...
I'm just joking.
Beating doesn't necessarily guarantee that you will see the results. Actually, most times, it would make it worse in beating their children that have maybe scars on their body and the scar is attributed to a certain beating and the child continues to remember it. I will forever be a proponent of understand your child.
Yes.
He's not a devil now. He's not a devil.
Sorry to cut you. Question. Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking about things like discipline, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's a case of bedwetting?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is it, right? Bedwetting, usually, if I plot my own journey, mm-hmm. if I look at my own journey, I remember some beatings. Maybe I was 5-ish, and I remember because some of them were very intense, you know, at that point. But I also remember that when I was young, I think I was maybe 4 or 5, I woke up one morning and I didn't just bedwet, I had pulled on my body.
Oh.
For whatever reason, which is one of the weirdest things that can happen,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it takes a lot of effort
mm-hmm.
to poo poo on your body.
Mm-hmm.
I can't forget. We're living upstairs. It was a corridor.
Mm-hmm.
This was our room. This was Daddy's room. There were 2 toilets there. It was that corridor that my father belted me. Right? And honestly, I'll be frank, it never happened again. It never happened again. When I think back, did I pull on myself intentionally? No.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think back, it's possible that was I scared? Maybe I wanted to go to toilets. Maybe there was no light. I can't remember what led to that,
mm-hmm.
right? But I remember that with me, you know, at a poo-poo, once I am sleeping, you know that time when you're sleeping, you'll be dreaming that you're playing. Then you'll now be dreaming that you want to be with me somewhere.
Yes.
That's the dream, oh.
Yes.
You'll now be looking for toilet. In the dream, oh, you raise up your dress. Sisterly. When I raise up my dress in the dream, somewhere in my brain remembers the cane that I chopped. And I wake up.
Yes.
Right? So my point is that, so bedwetting now, apart from maybe people who have psychological issues, emotional issues, or even like in our play, spiritual issues, right? Bedwetting for, in many cases for kids, is there are 2 things. Laziness. I don't want to interrupt my sleep as a child. 2, it's just convenient. I did it yesterday. Mommy said, don't do it again. Mommy said, the bed is smelling. Somebody took the bed out and that was all. I'll do it again. You get what I'm trying to say now? Do you think that particular action, is it something that it's okay to correct with the road? Because I know many people that stopped bedwetting because they were flogged. I know many people. And I'm saying this because I feel that, like mommy said, right? At the end of the day, we need to find a balance so that we can hand over the right thing to the next generation.
Mm.
You talk about potty training a child, waking up in the middle of the night. So like what people do now is you wake up in the middle of the night, tell your son, stand up,
mm-hmm.
go and wee-wee. Stand up, you wake them up so they don't wee-wee.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what people do now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is what, when you think about it, I kind of think it has replaced
the beating. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you don't wake up?
And when you continue waking up the child like that?
When will the child develop their own sense of independence?
Yes, yes, it will develop.
To wake up.
Hey, Temi, you know, what you're doing now, look at it this way. And let's look at it from the point of logic.
Mm.
I'm flogging a child for doing what he did when he was subconscious. Honestly.
Mm.
How? Because the first thing is, if I just stood up and I took a rod and started beating our camera crew, doesn't make sense. In other climes, that beating is not allowed.
That's what I said, that time is changing. You know, right. Our parents in those days, they are literate. They don't understand anything. They are like barbaric.
Yeah.
And they are like, I don't know what I can liken them. So they don't have
the right knowledge.
The right knowledge. They cannot think. To do better. This child was in his subconsciousness. So maybe he's dreaming, or maybe he's having fun dreaming that he's facing somewhere. You don't know. Ah, you has wet the bed. Then you beat the hell out of that child.
Because you don't understand.
Do you know what was worse? Have you ever? Did you experience this? When people come to school, they call out somebody on the assembly ground. And they say, wee, boy, how are you? Shame.
So he stops it, but you took his self-confidence.
So that's it. I used to beat you because you are out of age. It has become something, you know, common. You take it from granted. It is not all the time I beat you. But every time you know, at the age of 10 years, I think he should stop. But he continued like that.
So what you're saying now
and is... the action that I took really helped her.
Okay.
She, you understand? Because I've not been beating her since all this while. Believing her, thinking that maybe she's having dream and everything. Maybe she will approach. For example, she also suck her finger. You know. No, I was just leaving the finger, you know. I would put chloroquine, I will put aloe vera, I will put ewuro, put everything. This, my daughter is 15 years, he's still sucking.
Oh my goodness.
Is that okay? He's getting abnormal. He will go wash all those things, remove the plaster. Remove the plaster as he's sucking it, he'll be pressing the navel.
At 15.
So
that, of course, that will make you concerned.
Yes.
As a mom.
It has become another thing.
What
because what I did is that I took blade and I cut that place. And anytime you want to put it in the mouth, he used to pain her. That is how she left.
Sucking.
So that's why I say some action we took is barbaric. It's not good for children of this generation.
No, it's not good for children at all. Last generation, this generation, next is not.
So, but before I take that kind of action upon her, she even herself, she knows her mommy is frustrated. Because right from 3 years, we have been. Is this one? That hand has become so flat. I want to be disabled because he has been sucking it to stupor. And suck the finger to stupor.
And sucked out all the nutrients.
He has sucked out all the nutrients and all the blood. And the hand is flat and white. There is no blood again inside.
But the right thing to have said, did she start sucking from day one?
She has started talking from day one.
Now, tell me, you ask. Again, parenting, and to be honest, you can't, when you're parenting without knowledge or without the desire to understand your child, you will mess up. So first, sucking is the child trying to calm themselves. And there are ways to do it.
It is now that I saw that they went to go and buy what they called
pacifier.
But when a child begins to pacify herself for 10 years, 12 years, she's still pacifying. What is she pacifying? She has pacified the finger until the finger wants to become disabled. That pacifying is something else. So we have to take drastic action.
You know, at this I like this conversation, right? Because let's be honest, even as parents, we get to the point where we're like, you've reached your limits, right? And although she's not sucking today, because the girl, now when she dresses up now, babe, and you see her as in full option, but nobody knows what mommy went through.
Nobody.
To ensure that this full option is not this full option.
Yes, sir.
And while some of them were drastic, and for me, I'm just playing the devil's advocate, right? So that for everyone listening, you can begin to see that there are options. Like, our parents didn't, they're not saying that they knew it all, but they acted within the knowledge that they had.
Yeah.
Plus, again, they were thinking long term.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, it was like, why would I have a grown-up daughter that is like this? Because if you are talking, again, your mother would have thought that, oh my God, you are going to become socially orchestrated.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to be a social outcast.
Yes.
Can you get a job? Can you easily get a husband? Yeah. Are your mates going to be teasing you all through school? And thank God.
And all the blame will be on the parents.
They will say, they should have corrected it early.
Uh-huh.
That's what they will say. And that's why, like you said, that brings back when you said that in many cases we are eager to impress. But I don't think it's all the time impressing. But I think that it was misdirected. It was tough love. It was love that was tough. It was love for many parents. It was love. I remember an incident where growing up, we had my father is always wearing this look on his face. You think it's frowning, but he keeps a very strong face. It's not frowning. I think it's just his face is. Growing up, they used to lock us in the house. My mother would go out. They used to live upstairs. They would lock us upstairs. She would make food. It was just me and my sister. She would tell you, this is your breakfast. This is your lunch. She would lock us upstairs. We'll not be looking at everybody playing through the veranda, holding like prisoners like this. You know, I can't forget, we had a neighbor called Issa. We'll not be shouting, Issa! Issa! You know, it was funny, but we never could go out until they come back. Today's generation, can we do that? Maybe not. Maybe not. Like I said, our parents had a lot of mind. Because when I think about it now, to imagine locking your son home, you keep him locked at home until you come back. Our parents must have had a lot of mind. But what that did, when I look back, I saw that what she was trying to do was to ensure that in our own way, that we don't mix with the wrong crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so bad that growing up, if my father goes out, when we moved houses, his horn, every time he buys a car, he changes the horn to this trailer-like sound.
Mm-hmm.
So we always know his horn. When it's come, there's a way he hoots the car. Pam, 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 pam. We know his daddy. I promise you, even if we're in front of our house and we hear pam, 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 pam from a distance, we will scamper. We will run back to the house, sit down. Hey, what is not right? This chair is not in the right place. This is not in the right place. Ah, this see paper on the floor. Pick up the paper. Pick up this. At that time, it was fear. But I'll be very honest. It was fear, but it was not fear without love. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. We had a healthy fear of them. So fear that my father can come in. He prioritizes initiative. Be like, you have passed here 50 times. He can twist your ear. You didn't see this cop. Should this cop be here? He can twist. You get what I'm trying to say? So when we hear the car hooting, we run in. My brain will now reset and say, what is here that should not be here?
Yes, sir.
And even up till now, that has been an essential part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My ability to take initiative or think and say, this should not be.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some fear, but it was fear of having done wrong because I was supposed to know better. They have taught me enough to know better, but I was still doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So my question now is is it okay to have that kind of fear? That's that healthy fear. Is it okay? And then how do you balance it? Because so for some children, some are not privileged like us. Some just had an outright fear for their parents that, this woman can kill me. This man can kill me, can bury me. Right? They didn't get to that extreme with us. I was never afraid to see them pass. If my father passes in the morning, I'm always the first to hug him and jump at him and say, but if he hoots in the afternoon, I will still run back to the house and say, Omo, what is not right in this place? Right? So that balance of fear and love, healthy fear, if there's anything like that, is there anything like healthy fear? Because I don't want to call it respect. It's not respect. I didn't understand the concept of respect at that age. But I had a fear for my parents that, if they see that I should have done that, I did not do this, I will be in trouble. But in the midst of that, I knew they loved me.
So I think that there's no, I don't think that there's any hard and fast rule to parenting, even when you're parenting children from the same mother, right?
Oh, okay.
Children are different, right? Children are different. And when you know each child, you know how to support them. I'd like to think as parenting as a journey, right? What you're trying to do at the end of the day is to help your child, right, become the best that they can be. That's the outcome. And I think at every stage, at every phase, it should guide our conversations. It should guide our actions, right? So is it respect you want to call it? Is it fear? Whatever. I don't want fear. So I want my child to respect me, right? And if you ask me, ultimately, I want to be able to influence my child, right? To the point where whether I'm there or not, there's this, they are able to self-regulate on their own. So the outcome is what we should be fixated on. How do I help this child be the best that they can be? And from time to time, we also need to work on ourselves, because we project on our children, whether we like it or not. And so there are a lot of resources, credible resources for parenting at each phase, right? So the way you will parent child A, right, at early childhood will change when they are preteens, when they are teenagers, when they are young adults. So we, as parents as well, if you're really going to provide the best support you can for your child, you can't sit on one end. Join parenting circles, read, try and do everything you can to understand your child better, understand yourself better, so you can parent properly. What I've tried to do, knowing that as a parent I'm flawed, is somehow I found a way to communicate to our son that I'm not perfect, I'm vulnerable. And why is it very important for me to do that? I don't want to raise a child that feels that compelled to follow my actions even when they know it's wrong. I want my child to be able to call me out respectfully, to say, "Mommy, no," right? You know, to have a sense of independence, to be able to judge between good and bad, and almost help to course correct when I'm going overboard. So that's why I'm saying I don't want fear. In fear, I see children doing things that they know probably is not right, or is not right for them. But because they don't know how to approach you, you know, they are unable to speak. I don't want that.
So fear tampers with you.
It tampers with
the relationship.
So I want him to be able to call. And he does, by the way, "Mommy, I don't think this." And we will discuss it. And very, very clearly, when I'm in the wrong, I would apologize. In fact, it's extremely important to me that I help him understand that the fact that he's a young child now, he's a toddler, right, doesn't mean he doesn't get to be respected. And sometimes he makes his point and I don't agree. I say why, and I respectfully tell him no. But at the end of the day, it's extremely important for me to protect his self-respect, protect the bonds. I think two or three days ago, I said to him, "Have I been hugging you enough?" He says, "No." "How many times do you like me to hug you?" I said, "Maybe two or three times." He should have said something. And so yesterday he came and said, "Mommy, you've not hugged me enough today." I said, "Really? Okay, come." And I hugged him. Aww. And then I say, "I love you." Because again, I want to, for me, it's important that I raise a child that is empathic, right? Yeah. That is respectful of other people's emotions, that is polite. So I sit down sometimes and I'm saying, okay, I expect this from this child. Am I doing it? No. Is there a tendency that I will not do it? Yes. So I report myself to say, okay, if I'm asking you to do X and I'm not living up to it, call me up. If I'm saying don't shout in the house, if I shout, say to me, "Mommy, you are breaking the pact." And it does, you know. So again, it's a mix, it's a balance, but it's important that we know that the outcome we want is that we'll be able to help our children live up to their fullest potentials, and it should guide our actions all through.
Thank you very much, Yo. Mommy, what final words would you give to parents of this generation, our generation? We are your children. Based on, when you look at the things that you've done, the things that has worked for you, the things that has not worked for you, if you could leave us with three key things, what would those things be?
Yes, thank you. What I will leave you for is this. I want this generation to know that we are in a modern generation, but we shouldn't forget our tradition. We are Africans. And discipline is very, very important. You know, from my conversation, I did not say discipline should not be in, you guys should not discipline your children. But the extreme one that our parents did to us and the one that we did to our own children, because we emulate from our own mother. So I don't want that kind of extreme discipline to continue, because time is changing. The children you people are having nowadays, they are more advanced, more intelligent, more enlightened. In our own time, there's no television, there's no radio, there's no phone, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, and all those things. There's no, there's nothing like that. There's no Instagram. So, but now the children of nowadays, they are exposed to all those things. DSTV, they watch cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, they are very, very intelligent, even know the deep things that we, that you, even you, your the family did not know.
Yeah.
So you should always put it in mind that your children are more intelligent.
Mm.
And the way we discipline our children that is too irrational and too drastic, you should not, you know, apply that kind of discipline to your to your children. But some parents, we said, like some parents of my generation, we say, ah, you remove you are not disciplining your children the way your father disciplined you. There's going to be children delinquency in the future. No. I see the future colorful and bright.
Aww.
And I know that, you know, the children will get there by God's grace.
Amen.
But what I want is that the tradition, our tradition, our ways of life, you know, we should not allow this modern civilization to
take over, like greeting, good morning, respecting elder,
appreciating,
be contented with what you have.
And when they give you something or your parents do something good for you, you should remember the following day to go
and kneel down
and say, Mommy, good morning, God bless you. All those character, character is a very good something, you know. All those ones should not, you know,
you shouldn't forget it.
You should continue, because any tradition or any custom that is dead, that generation is also dead. Before 40 years to this time, so many customs would have been lost because this generation focused on Western education than. But those bad things that we did, that our father did to us and we did to our children, I don't want it to continue again. Because time is changing.
Yes.
You cannot, the kind of life we live 50 years ago is not the kind of life they are living now. So why African is backward is that we are not current. Even our idols, our gods are not current. They are 200 years backward. They are 200 years backward. They don't know computer. They don't know anything. That's why they cannot do anything.
You guys anything need good. Current idols, man. You need so, idols that can do Instagram and do selfies.
So, treat your children according to this generation, but don't forget your tradition.
Absolutely.
And don't treat them the way we treat those drastical
action.
Psychotic, I don't know what I can call it. Those madness.
The backhands.
Pepe. Idigbale. Omorogun. So please, all those ones should not be applied to the children of this generation, or else they will go.
No, they will even report.
They will report you. That's all.
Thank you so much, mommy. I have just one final, and this is for the culture. This is for you guys, for the culture. Like all our parents are in WhatsApp group. Please, mommy, I want to ask you, on behalf of all the mothers in Africa, why is it that when we go for parties, they'll be cutting eye for us that if we eat that rice, if they give you, when we go outside, they want to give us food, mothers will be cutting eye that if you eat that food, mashi, she gave for it. You know, they won't talk, oh. People will be giving you, be like, no, I'm okay. Your mother will say, eat it. Your mother's mouth will say, eat it. But her eyes is telling you, don't. Please, why? Well, why?
It's because, you know, we are mother. Most of the parties that they do is a sacrifice to the
old-fashioned gods.
To the old-fashioned gods, gods and everything. And now it's even more rampant nowadays. Yes. So that's why. Somebody want to, you know, do party. Afa has come in the morning to KUC, Ewure, and do all those rituals they need to do and everything. And you people will not come. You will not know. Or Wole has come and use it and maybe bury ground and put it there and remove it. You know, after they use it to cook food. And your mother that knows all these things doesn't want you to be one of the demons that is going to eat that sacrifice. So he say, to bache. To my friend in contact. To
bache.
To bache. You know, he's doing, but he will not tell you the deep things.
Even if she tells you, we cannot understand.
Even though when they tell you,
you go and tell them.
You cannot understand.
My mother said that she don't eat in case they've prayed over the meat.
We say, afa, mufulu alale ano. Koto wa she ni. But the elders know what is happening, and the person that is doing party, you know, the kind of person he is, how diabolical they are, and how fetish they are, and they cook food, you know. And you are a Christian, you remember the scripture said the sacrifices that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to the demons and to the evil spirits. Now, you want to go partake in the evil festival. God help us.
I'll be honest, ma. This thing that you just said and this conversation we had, as we wrap it up, I have a better appreciation for our mothers. You guys were dealing with a lot, and you guys had very little information to handle it. So, honestly speaking, the idea of this podcast was to find out if African parenting was a blessing or a curse.
It's a blessing.
And I would say that it's a blessing. Yes. I would say it's a blessing because with the little resources that parents had, they still managed to raise us.
Yes.
And even though we are not perfect, we didn't turn out so bad.
So bad. Many people are not saying secrets.
We didn't turn out
psychological
so
problem.
Yes.
Look at it. Look at my daughter now. Every time you say, look at my hand, you cut it. You know. Or my daughter will say, look at where you use wire clipper.
I think it's a time for us to have conversations.
You know all those things
with our parents.
Yeah.
Let's have
conversations. All those discipline make them to be a better person. But pain is still there. So, I am not saying the one that my father, my mother did to me. I improved on my children before I ever beat them. See, I told you, 15 years, I've been trying everything possible.
Yeah.
Until my friend said that I should cut it with blade.
And so, that's another thing again, right? So what your friend said, it's a function of information your peers had at that point in time.
He said, ah, he's on, I told him, don't shani, kini, komu, kamo, moa, bomo, jem, ofisile, otin, long, 15 years, so you muka, mo, infisile, ke shani, blady, afisile,
shasha.
So, mo sha, imi no dile mo ke mo owo owo mi mo de sha
egi
mo de se kini mo de fi
plaster
si
I think so we've come to the end of this podcast, and I just want to say that We love you.
Thank you so much.
We love our parents. We love all our mothers. We love all our African mothers.
Thank you so much.
You guys were, besides raising children, our mothers were battling other things. Like mommy said now, she had her own trauma. Unfortunately, we have the option of saying seek therapy. But mommy doesn't have the option. I mean, who does she talk to? Who does she pour out her pains to? Who does she share those trauma with? You know, that's the challenge. So we have had this very serious conversation in a very fun way.
Yeah.
Mommy has been a sport. You have been so amazing. Thank you for indulging us.
Thank you
for being with us. Our prayer is that your labor over your children will not be in vain. Our prayer is that you will live long enough to see your children's children and see them even do good things. And all your labor of love will come back to you in wonderful folds. We have a responsibility, this generation, to seek help. And that's why. So in the midst of all the depression and the mental illnesses that we have today, if you need someone to talk to, right, I think the first thing to do is to forgive our parents. They didn't know any better.
Yes.
They really didn't, from what we can see here. They love us. They loved us, and they interpreted that love the way they understood that love.
Absolutely.
If you need someone to talk to, please seek the help of a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to a friend. Don't bury it, right? Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, I trust that everything's going to be fine.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to us today. It was no ordinary conversations. Unserious conversations in the most unserious way. Bye, guys.
Bye.